Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, my name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson. I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, I'm Margaret Hask, and I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And we're going to be talking about Banned Book Week today.
Right. So have you had any complaints about books in your library? Have you had to deal with this individually?
No. Fortunately, no. We haven't really had any issues here. Over the years, we found books on our shelves necessarily that, you know, things that are small get kind of pushed to the back. If they don't, you know, as you're weeding and taking things out of the collection that no longer circulate, you're like, oh, I see why, you know, maybe it's a little dated and things of that nature. But we've been very fortunate that we've never had any complaints from the community.
That's terrific. Yeah, we haven't either in Cornwall. We did have a person from outside of the community come in and ask about particular books, and she seemed to be kind of looking to, she had some sort of plan in mind if we had the books or if we had them in the place she considered wrong, but we passed her test, whatever it was, so she left. But things have changed now. We have very strong policies now that were given to us by the state, and she couldn't do that now because now you have to be a member of the Cornwall Library in order to challenge anything.
I was reading up on that. It's a very interesting law.
It is interesting, and it's last year we did an update on our book selection and reconsideration policy, and this year, because of a bill passed by the state, SB 1271, we have more thorough policies, and they provide a lot more protection to the library and to the librarians than the original thing did. And we expanded it, so now it's not just a book that somebody could challenge, and we have a way to respond to that, but it's also displays and programs. So if anybody had a complaint about a display or a program, we now have a policy in place for that as well.
Wonderful. We have similar policies in place. It wasn't mandated by the state, but our library system was is very good about making sure and encouraging libraries to have certain policies, so you know what to do before it becomes a problem.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And we have similar policies where, you know, it has to be a member of our community. There's a form online for them to fill out, and things of that nature. So, knock on wood, we haven't had any of those.
But one thing that this bill does do, and that now our policies do, is it protects the librarian from harassment or being sued or something. And that that's a big comfort, you know, to me, of course.
They defined
the librarian or the library director as the person who is ultimately responsible for book selection and displays and programs. Mm-hmm. So if anybody thought something was inappropriate and they wanted to bother somebody, they'd come to me. And now it's written to this bill that I can't be harassed or sued just for doing my job.
Yeah.
So that's a comfort. That's good.
That must be, because it's always kind of been the back of your head lately. Like, I remember when I first started working in libraries, Banned Book Week was kind of a thing. Like, oh, you know, it still happened. People did try, but it wasn't like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would do a display for patrons, have great conversations about, aren't we glad this doesn't happen? Isn't this ridiculous kind of thing? Because it's usually like, so it's a different world now.
It is a different world. It's very contentious. And, and, you know, I was really grateful to the state for, you know, taking the lead on this and designing these policies, which we, you know, we modified slightly to make appropriate for our library. But they really provided a lot of information. And some of the policies, some of the specifics of the policies are very interesting to me. Like one is that any material that's being challenged, a display, a program, a book, stays in place until the challenge is decided, whether it's going to stay or not. We don't just take things off immediately because somebody has challenged it, which is, I think, a good policy.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you can see how they were learning from other communities where they had issues where, that was, people would just challenge things and they would it go through the process, be put back on the shelf. But during that time, their patrons couldn't use it.
Right, right. Or the program was shut or, mm-hmm. the display was taken down, whatever it was. Yeah, so I'm pleased that they made that change. And I was also looking in preparation for this conversation today, I was looking at the reconsideration policy that a person who's challenging an item would have to complete. And it's really, you can't just say, oh, I don't like that, or somebody said that was bad, or you have to read the entire work if it's a book, and you have to really assess it carefully. You have to say specifically what your problem is with it and where it is, and how did you happen to find this? Are you representing any other organization? Are you entirely on your own? And then what do you think the purpose of the material is? And for what age group should this material be recommended? And overall, do you think there is any value in this material? So they're really questioning very carefully and thoroughly, which, again, is more protection for us.
Yeah. And I almost feel like if they're not, if they're doing it just to cause trouble rather than, they're not going to go through all of that. Only the people who actually feel passionate about what they're saying, for better or for worse, at least you know that they're serious and not just trying to cause trouble.
Yeah, isn't that terrible? We have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And then another aspect of the policy is that one of our local librarians was sued because she released information about a book challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was sued for confidentiality, for breaking confidentiality with that patron by exposing that document and making it public. But this bill states that a challenge is not is not considered a confidential item, because we take confidentiality really, really seriously here, and I know some people think it's that's sort of silly. I mean, who cares? But people do care, and so we're very careful about keeping things confidential in the Cornwall Library.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the same in Connecticut, but I know in New York State, library records are protected by law, so we would be violating the law by breaking that patron's confidentiality.
I don't know specifically if that is how it is in Connecticut, but it sort of seems like it would be, but I don't know. So do you have patrons asking about your banned book policies or banned books in general?
In the past, yes. We have a display up this year for Banned Book Week, and I'm surprised it hasn't garnered more conversation. It's a really visually interesting display. Our youth services coordinator Naomi put it together and redid book covers to block out different parts of the book, especially if the thing that causes the book to be challenged is on the cover, that is drawn out and blocked out. In past, it has. I feel like because it's so much more in the forefront now, a lot of our patrons are aware. Very few people are surprised that this is, they're surprised that it's happening, but they're more knowledgeable about it because it is in the news more often now. It's not just, something that the librarians know about and talk about much themselves.
And how did you choose? It seems like almost every book has been challenged or banned by one organization or another. So how did you choose which books you were going to put out there? Did you go by a list or something?
Yeah, the American Library Association has a list of the most commonly banned books of the last several years. So they were selected from that. In this instance, it was probably also, because I was not part of the selection process, I trust her completely to select the appropriate books to put on display. But from the titles that I see out, they're also more common titles that come up in conversation and then have been in the news. Mm-hmm. And also some titles that you wouldn't expect for whatever reason.
Right.
And
really
also are a good book.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth reading.
Yeah. I was looking the other day at some lists of banned books and why they were banned, and some books are banned for having talking animals in them.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, that's half of your children's literature. You have animals talking, you have trucks talking, you have, you know, so I...
Magic is another common one. Yeah.
So
things of that nature, too, are on there. It's worthy to have these conversations in our community, but it's always kind of a difficult topic to talk about. Not in the sense that, you know, we can't have an intelligent conversation, a peaceful conversation with the people of our community, but it's always surprising. It's always kind of like, you know, you don't know who in your community might actually be like, yeah, you should ban this book, and then that's going to be a whole nother conversation.
I had a surprising response to a program the other day. We had this talk, and the person showed some slides, you know, of paintings by an artist, and I went up to a woman afterwards and said, you know, what did you think? And she said, I think it was pornography. Mm-hmm. I was really taken aback. I mean, there were nudes, and they weren't like classic nudes, but I was surprised that that was her take on it. So you really don't know where people are coming from until you ask the question.
Do you have any programs you want to talk about coming up?
We have an event we're calling Confused by the News. And we have three journalists, really prominent journalists, who are going to talk about how they figure out what's true and what's not, like what techniques they use, how they sort through all the noise and figure out what is really factual. So they're going to individually talk for a few minutes, and then they're going to have a conversation among themselves, and then we're going to open the floor so that people can ask them questions. And this is unrehearsed. I'm sure they've given some thought to what they're going to say in their individual time there, but they really want it to be just an open conversation with people. And it's not being recorded. Nobody's going to make a comment that's going to be taken out of context or, you know, come back to haunt them or anything. So it feels like it's going to be a really interesting and really valuable talk here at the library. So that's really the biggest one. And that's October 25th. And it is up on the website. People can register already for it if they want to. And we're already nearly half full, and I haven't even really started the publicity yet. So that's the one that we're really looking at right now. And then we do, at the end of the month, we do a Halloween thing, which is a lot of fun, the pumpkin carving contest.
Oh, that is so fun.
What do you have going on?
Oh, well, Halloween's very big around here. we're partnering with the Irondale Schoolhouse, and we're going to have, we call it the Festival of Frights. It's a little play on the Festival of Lights that happened in late November, where they decorate the schoolhouse. It's a little walkthrough haunted house. And we host the trunk or treat that's across the street from the schoolhouse along the rail trail. And it's a wonderful time. I encourage everyone to come.
The trunk or treat is along the rail trail there?
Mm. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Get permission.
What a great idea.
Yeah, it's ideal because luckily, for the most part, The restaurants on that little, there's a little shopping center over there with Harney's Tea and Golden Walk and Country Gardener. And so usually by that point in the evening, Golden Walk is the only one open, and they do take out. So we're not taking away any parking spaces from the businesses. So we can line up there, and then everyone walks up and down the rail trail to go trick-or-treating at the cars. And it's, we've, We've had at least 200 people come through.
Oh, my goodness.
In past years, yeah. It's so fun. We have to count by how many hot dogs are given away.
Don't worry about. The kids can be pretty relaxed. It sounds great.
Yeah, just crossing the street on crossing Main Street to get to the schoolhouse, which usually, thankfully, there's a police officer to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's on Halloween from 5 to 7. And coming up on the 24th, we have Twisted Tales for Teens and Creepy Crafts, which we're really excited about. It's not a story hour for teens, but it kind of is. We have a selection of books that are, not appropriate for younger audiences, but are right up teens' alleys, and it's very spooky and great. So we're going to be reading from them, and they're going to make some monster-y crafts that will be fun.
What age teens do you attract to that kind of an event?
It's the first kind that we're doing here, so we don't know. So fingers crossed.
Because we have
a writing group for teens and things like that that get from like 12 to 16 around
there. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping we can pull them over and have a
project with them. Yeah. Good. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. And we have our annual craft fair on November 8th. From 10 to 2. The firehouse next door will be having their craft fair at the same time, so it'll be a very crafty day in Millerton.
Well, it's a beautiful little spot there.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more on the web, lakevillebooks.com.